Kof Zayin Sivan, Wednesday the 21st of June, Rabbi Mordechai Mays, Parshas Korach and Chodesh Tammuz. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored L'ilu Nishmas Reb Zev Ben Reb Dov Zechron Levocha, Dr. W. Littlestone, on his fifth Yahrzeit, which is today.
Thank you very much for having me today. Thank you. Lovely to be here. I am London born and bred, but I now live in Eretz Yisrael. There is a fascinating idea at the beginning of Parshas Korach, which I think has to be analysed slightly, when it's talking about the very beginning of Parsha, when Korach comes along and he has a tain on Moshe Rabbeinu and on basically on the status of Aaron a Kohen. So the Rashi brings a Medrash, and the Medrash says that Korach came with 250 followers, all atuf, all cloaked in a talis of treles, and he asked Moshe, no, does it also need a tzitzis of treles? But it sounds like a good question, and Moshe answers yes, it also needs treles, and Korach mocks him. Now Rashi doesn't bring the next part of the Medrash. The next part of the Medrash says, now also he asked him, if you have a room full of sorim, do you also need to put a mezuzah on the door? To which Moshe said also, yes, you also need to put a mezuzah on the mashkaf on the doorpost. So Korach nochamol, again, he mocks him. Now the question is, okay, these are very good questions. I'm sure there are plenty of questions which could have been asked, and Korach could have made a lot of fun of Moshe Rabbeinu for lots of reasons. So why dafka these two specific areas was Korach coming to mock Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's the question of the Maharal in Gur Aryeh. The Maharal wrote a fantastic, I don't know, doesn't mean Mahaskoma, of course, but he wrote a fantastic perush on Rashi, explaining the difficult Rashi, the steers in Rashi, and the depth of Rashi. So the Gur Aryeh asked these questions, why dafka these specific examples? And he answers, again, I was about to say brilliantly, but obviously he doesn't need my Ascoma whether it was brilliant or not, because he's the Maharal, of course. And he says that basically what he was coming here to say was he had a big tie on the leadership of Moshe as leader of Klal Yisrael and the leadership of Aaron HaKohen as the person who was Achrai, who was responsible for giving Avodah, for imparting mitzvahs ma'asiyot, positive commandments, and making sure the people were keeping the commandments that they were meant to do. How does it say? So where is it in the Medrash? So he says, Treles, and first of all it says, Smichas HaParshas, the end of Parsha Shalach Lecho, it talks about the Parsha Tzitzis, and the next stage immediately is Vayikach Korach. So we know that there was this story of Tzitzis. Says the Maharal, Tzitzis is to come to remind us always of Mitzvahs Maasiyos. Uzcharet Moisov. You're always going to remember them. His taina was, look, the nation, everybody here, they're all Kedoshim. Everything's great. So we don't really need you. So there's Moshe, no, you still need Psil Tcheles. You need one individual who's going to now help you. Even though Kulam Kedoshim, there's Tcheles. Atalis Kulay Tcheles. Everyone's Kedoshim. But you still need a leader. You still need somebody who's Madrich. You still need somebody who's Mashpia, who influences the nation. You still need Aaron HaKohen. So when Korach was coming along and asking this question at the Talis, it wasn't stumped, just another question just to mock Moshe Rabbeinu. It was far more sinister than that. He was coming along to say, we don't need Aaron. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you still need Aaron, you still need Psilteinus. The next question Korach asked him was, a room full of Svarim. Everyone's telling the Chachomim here. We all heard Anichi Hashem Elokecha. We were all there at Mamet Har Sinai. We don't need somebody else. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, no, you still need a mezuzah on the door. You still need somebody there. And the point here is, and this is the most frightening, that when very often when people try to say, no, we're all equal, everybody's equal, everybody's the same, there's no difference between anybody, what we're actually doing is saying that no one's unique and nobody's special. And if nobody's special, then they can be used and they can be thrown away. And that's the next stage of Korach. 250 people come to be mapped to Torah. Now Rashi says in Pasuk Zayin that Korach had Ruach HaKodesh. And he saw explicitly there's going to come out of his generations Shmuel Alovi and many, 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 many great people. So he was sure that he was going to be okay. Everything was going to be fine. He was going to live. 250 people are going to die. Because nobody's unique. Because nobody's special. The secret of Klal Yisrael is that everybody is important in Klal Yisrael. Everyone has their own job in Klal Yisrael. Everybody is needed in Klal Yisrael. There's nobody who can just be thrown out. There's nobody who doesn't have their own job to do. And who do we learn this from? We learn this from Rachel Leminu. Rachel Leminu is a fascinating story. I never used to understand what was going on with the birth of Binyamin. Let me explain what I mean by that. It says in Parshas Vayishlach that she was getting into trouble in childbirth. So it says, "V'hig b'hak shoysa b'lito, v'toymei lo hamyaledes, al tiri ki gam ze lach ben." Now, I don't know. I've been at four childbirths so far. And in the terrible agony that a woman is in during childbirth, the last comfort that I can... I've never used it anyway, so I don't know if it works. But I don't think it does work. Just to tell her that it's a boy, it's not going to help. She's dying. That's what the apostle says. She's dying. She's about to die. She knows she's about to die. Don't worry, it's a boy. So what? How does that help me? But Rachel Imeinu, there's a special secret with Rachel Imeinu. And this is a fascinating goyin. The goyin says there are two places in the world where there's shechina. Those two places are Kosel HaMaravi and Kevar Rachel. Why Dafka Kevaroch? There are lots of tzaddikim in the world. There have been the Ovos HaGadoshim in Maras Mechbelo. They've been very special. They've been very, very special tzaddikim. What happened? What's so special about Kevar Rachel that over there there's Shechina? So one has to understand that Shechina, and we learn this always in every relationship that we have, whether it be the husband and wife, or whether it be close friends, what brings Shechina into the world, what brings, and Shechina is relationship, Kodesh Baruch is misgale, reveals himself as having a personal relationship with Klal Yisrael. What brings relationship with the world is what we call attention to detail. If you remember your wife's wedding anniversary, then everything's okay. But if you forget the wedding anniversary, then you'll never forget it again. Right? Because she won't forget that you forgot that one time. Right? Paying attention to a date is seemingly something not so important. But attention to detail builds relationship. And so too with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When one pays attention to the details of a Klal Yisrael, of mitzvahs, that builds a relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here Rachel Imeinu teaches us something very, very important. She's about to die. But she's come to this world with a tafkid. She's come to this world with a particular purpose. And that purpose is to bring, she's made a cheshbon. She knows it has to be 12 shvotim. So there's six with Leah, two with each of the Shvachos, that's 10, and she's brought out Yosef. But there's still one more. She knows there's got to be another one. And she knows she's got to bring it out into the world. But she's dying. She's about to die. But then Meleda says, "I know that's important to you. You've reached your tafkid. Gamlach, this one's also a bin. This one's also a son." Because Rachel Imeinu is not willing to give up on even the smallest prat, even the smallest detail, because every detail is important in Klal Yisrael. We count people because everybody is important and everyone has something to give. The month of Tammuz is actually, this is the next stage of this all, what Korach did to make everybody equal and basically make everybody non-important was terrible, terrible choshech, terrible, terrible darkness which came down into the world at that time. I'm not saying it happened in Tammuz, the story, but the certain this parsha is a preparation for a chodesh, which is probably, and it's written, Rav Shimshon Pinkel says it, and many of the other, and the Sforim HaKadoshim, the Odiot HaKadoshim, also say it, that Tammuz is perhaps the darkest of all of the months. Now one would have thought that the darkest month would have been Chodesh Av, when there's the actual Chorban. But actually, as we know, even on Tisha B'Av itself, from Chatzois, one sits on the chair, because one knows that the next stage is light. We've come to the deepest darkness, but we're also going out, and we're also going towards Geula. And that's why the Mashiach is also, the Fina Sera is also born in on Tisha B'Av. Because even though, the Maharal says very beautifully, it says, it's written that the Mashiach is sitting at the gates of Roimi. What does that mean, it's sitting at the gates of Roimi? The gates of Edoim. So he explains very beautifully. He says the gate is the end of that particular city, of that particular Golus. Moshiach is sitting right at the very end of that particular Golus. At the end of Romi, immediately starts Moshiach. And that's what we're waiting for, of course. But Tammuz is the descent into absolute darkness. Tammuz is the month which is possibly the most confusing, the most difficult. What Korach did in his day to bring darkness into the Klal Yisrael, to bring the first seeds of Sophic, of the Mesura of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the legitimacy of the leadership of Aaron HaKohen, Tammuz is for us in that suddenly everything's not so clear. Everything's a bit strange, a bit more difficult. The months of the year, the Rosh Hashanah says, the names of the months of the year were changed when they came back from Golas Bavel to remember the Geula from Bavel. The months of the year also come to remind us of the Geula of Mitzrayim. So that's the Seder of the months of the year. That is to say, the first month of the year is the month in which we came out of Egypt. But the names of the month of the year, that we got from Bavel. So what's Tammuz? Obviously, it's Anshei Knesset HaGedoyim. They took those names from Bavel. So obviously, there is something here, Ruach HaKodesh, to a certain degree. Anshei Knesset HaGedoyim calls it Nevi'im. So what is it that was in Tammuz? And it's actually frightening to hear what Tammuz was all about. There's a posuk in Yechezkel, in Perek Ches, posuk Yud Dalet. When Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the Novi Yechezkel, he wants to explain what's so terrible, what's going on here. Klal Yisrael have descended into the pits of immorality. How does the Novi explain it? So he says, Vayove oisi el Pesach shar beis Hashem, asher latzvoino, says Yechezkel, v'hinei shom, and at those gates of the Beis HaMikdosh, Hanoshim Yoishvois, the women standing there, they're sitting there, sorry, Mevakois es ha-Tammuz, crying over the Tammuz. What's the Tammuz? So there's a bit of a machlokes rishonim about what the Tammuz was. Rashi, Mevakois es ha-Tammuz, Tzelem Echod, Shemecham Mois Oysu Mibifnim, Vayhu Einov Shel Oiferes, Vayhim Niskavin Mibifnim, there was an idol made of metal, and they put a fire under that idol, and his eyes were made of some sort of lead, some metal which melts relatively easily, and as they heated up the idol looked like it was crying. Mevakois es ha-Tammuz, they were causing the Tammuz to look like he was crying. That was the suk avoido of the Tammuz. The Radak, when he speaks about Mevakois es ha-Tammuz, says a little bit differently. That the women were coming, it was a Loshon Sagi Noho. Mevakois is actually Mesamchois. They were coming to actually make the idol happy. What were they doing? They were burning their children. After it says, Lo Yisroelim eshoi boichois al oisoi shahaya soruf, shu sulfim bneim bneiseim bo'esh, they cried to the children that they had offered up to this idol. That was the Tammuz. That's the idea of the Tammuz. Tammuz was an avodah zorah. The Rambam Meir Nevuchim in Chelek Gimel of Meir Nevuchim says no. The Tammuz was not an idol. The Tammuz was actually a high priest or a novi of this group called the Tzaba. Who the Tzaba are? I don't know. The Tzaba. And they had their own Nevi'im, they had their own priests. And one day the king got angry with a particular priest. They killed him in some strange way, which the Rambam luckily doesn't go into. It's a censored Rambam. It's not really censored. Right? It's a very, very, it killed him. They killed him in some Misa Mishuna. And afterwards there was a dream, and all the idols came, and Mevakois es ha-Tammuz. They cried over this particular Novi, this particular priest of idol worship. Whatever it is, whether it's the Radak, whether it's Rashi, whether it's the Meir Nevuchim, whatever we look at it, the Tammuz is shaykh to Avodah Zorah. Now what is Avodah Zorah? We know bang down to an idol, that's right. But what's the Pnimis, I've forgotten my English, I'm from Israel nowadays.
Essence.
Essence is excellent. What's the more essential aspect, right, of Avodah Zorah? So Rav Yitzchak Huttner in Pachad Yitzchok in Chanukah, he explains when somebody's over the Avodah Zorah, the idea is that he takes something which is completely not important and makes it important. The most extreme of making something important is Avodah. Ovid Hashem. When a person is over the Avodah Zorah, he takes something which is completely unimportant and brings it to the maximum importance. That's Choshech. When everything's completely not clear, it's too opposite, too polemic. Take something so important, so non-important, and make it Spitz, make it the best. Make it a god. That is the idea which we're fighting against, L'chore, during Chodesh Tammuz. Chodesh Tammuz, a month of Choshech, a month of Chet HaEgel, and many, many other catastrophes which happened to Klal Yisrael. Those are the aspects which we are, and Tammuz, which we requested to look at a bit, to think about a bit, and to try and correct a bit. Now obviously, all these terrible things, all this choshech which happened in Tammuz, we could think to ourselves that maybe, well, Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't here. Chas v'sholem, yes? But maybe there's no connection anymore. There have been terrible things, terrible catastrophes which happened in Tammuz, as well as in Av, but also very much so in Tammuz, terrible darkness in Tammuz. So one has to understand, and this is what we always taught, right? That whenever there is darkness, whenever it looks like there's Hester upon him, actually, within that Hester upon him is actually the greatest love of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That when Kodesh Baruch Hu hides his face, it's because it's a father who has to give us perhaps a slap on the hand, and that slap perhaps hurts the father much, much more than it hurts the son. But it's the extreme act of love that he wishes to guide his child, which a father does when he is master, when he hides himself, and so too with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In the month of Tammuz, we're asked to look for Kodesh Baruch Hu where it's dark. But in the month of Tammuz, we also look to see how much a Kodesh Baruch Hu really does love us. I remember one occasion, first birth of a child, when we got into difficulties at birth. And at that moment, well, my wife's parents weren't there, and my parents live in England, and there was big difficulties. So at that moment, they suddenly had to rush her out to the operating theatre, and it wasn't certain what was going to happen. Now at that moment, when everything looked blackest, I still look back at that as being the closest moments in my life to Kodesh Baruch. Because at that moment, I really had nothing else. There was nothing else there, only me and God. So very, very often, it's that Hester upon him which actually requests from us, drives us to actually find the Kodesh Baruch Hu and become closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Very often in the many, many Siddurim that's printed, there's a Tseiruf of the month. Shem Hashem in all sorts of different Siddurim. We're not Mekubolim, so we won't go into the Kabbalah of the idea, because I also don't understand it. But the month of Tammuz, Shem Havayah, month of Tammuz, is exact opposite in the exact opposite direction. Shem Hashem Yud K Vav K. The month of Tammuz is exact opposite. Hey Vav Hey Yud. Now we know that every Shem of the Kodesh Baruch Hu has a particular message, a particular midah of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We know Elohim is Midas Hadin, and we know that Shem Havaya, Shem Yud K Vav K, is always Midas Harachamim. If Midas Harachamim is in the opposite direction, Pshat is. Ben Yisoscha says it, and also Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Pshat is that in the opposite direction. That means to say that it's Midas Hadin, it's the maximum Choshech, and that Be'etzem is when we try, what we're trying to fight against throughout Tammuz. Obviously, not fighting. Perhaps we're having a great life during Tammuz, but we're asked now to look explicitly at how our lives are. And everybody has their own peckle. Everyone has their own difficulties. We're asked to look a bit more deeply and see that everything that Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing for us is really for our best, and he really does it because he loves us. A bit shorter than I was expected. I thought it was going to be slightly longer. Thank you very much for listening.